Supper clubs. You hear the words and you probably think of sipping on an old-fashioned, probably a brandy old-fashioned if you're from Wisconsin. Maybe you're enjoying a Friday fish fry on a, you know, obviously on a Friday, or maybe you're dining on some prime rib on a Saturday. It's pretty much always Saturday for prime rib in my neck of the woods. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Today we're talking about Wisconsin's most iconic supper clubs and how this dining tradition started. And our guest is Ron Faiola. He's got a, he's called the Supper Club Guru, and he's the author of a really interesting book. It's the Wisconsin Supper Club's Story, an Illustrated History with Relish. And the relish tray was always something that I looked forward to every time I went to a supper club years back. So as we talk with Ron, I hope you'll join in. What's your favorite Wisconsin supper club? How long's it been around? What's your go-to dish or cocktail on the menu? You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Ron Faiola, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, Larry. It's good to be here.
So maybe start by telling us your personal connection to supper clubs.
I grew up going to supper clubs around the area. I lived in Greendale, just outside of Milwaukee. We'd go to the Rafters. We'd go to Ray Bustler's. They were close by, but we were kind of in the boonies at the time.
And the city came out to you sort of over time.
Exactly, yeah.
So when you go to a supper club in Wisconsin, do you go for the Friday fish fry or the prime rib, or what do you go for?
I go for both. I love prime rib, and I don't. You know, it's not something you make at home, so it's a great time to go get it at a supper club.
And I'm trying to remember if I ever went to a supper, well, I'm sure I did. I went to a supper club and didn't have a brandy old fashioned. But
yeah. But it's mandatory. You
have to. Yeah, is that kind of a staple for you?
You know, not really. Not until I started doing the book. And then when I did the first book, I was doing 50 supper clubs in that book. So I wanted to get a brandy old fashioned at each supper club. So I had 50 on that trip. So at least 50.
Oh, Chad and Hayward's got a perfect question for us and a perfect topic here. So let's go right to Chad. Thanks for calling, Chad.
Hey, you bet. I love the show. I was driving today and caught you guys and just love the show. So first, my favorite supper club is the Ranch in Hayward. Really, really like the Ranch. But here's my question. I'm just curious. I grew up in Indiana. Supper clubs are a new thing to me. I've lived in Wisconsin now 4 years. Tell me the origins of it. How did they begin and where did they spread and how did they find their way to all these little communities along the way? So.
Chad, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask Ron about that because he certainly covers that in his book. Thanks for calling. The Ranch at Hayward. I haven't been there.
Yeah, that's a nice place. They're in my first book.
Okay. Well, my memory of the Hayward area was the Rainbow Lodge. I have a memory from way back, a long time back, of having a dinner there with a girlfriend, and it was a very memorable experience. I could tell you that story, but I'm not. Let's talk about the history instead of supper clubs. You certainly write about that in your book.
Right. Believe it or not, supper clubs did not begin in Wisconsin, nor did they begin in Beverly Hills, where the legend has it. But they came out of London, England in the 1800s and kind of made their way over to the New York area in the 1895 or so. And it took until about Prohibition when the supper clubs kind of became a thing in New York. And then eventually, when Prohibition ended, supper clubs started making their way across the United States. In the 50s and 60s, they were everywhere.
What makes a supper club a supper club?
Well, you know, right now, I mean, Wisconsin supper clubs are unique because they're family-owned and the family often lives on the premises. They have unique hours. They might be only open 3 days a week. And when they go hunting, they put a sign on the door and say, we'll be back next week. you know, but in the, you know, 50s and 60s, supper clubs were known. You put that on your shingle. People knew that it was steaks, seafood, dining and dancing, and just a good time. You'd spend the whole night there. And entertainment was a big part of the supper clubs.
And I think in those early days, too, it was a dress-up a little bit. Affair.
That's right. Yeah.
People got dressed up for it.
Yeah, we used to, as a kid, I'd put on my little suit jacket and a tie and go have a little kiddie cocktail, you know, be like the adults. And
And some of that came even from, I think you talk about it, from the movies.
That's right.
There was Cary Grant, was it? I'm trying to remember now.
Yeah, The Awful Truth. They're in a supper club and they're at a table and they're watching Cary Grant's new girlfriend sing at the, you know, club, and it's kind of embarrassing. And but the movies back then, they would show people at these supper clubs and dining, dancing, and they, you know, they're wearing tuxedos and gowns, and, you know, they're very dressed up. But that was kind of the Hollywood version. But as, you know, the general thing was, again, you know, entertainment. Some of the big names would actually play supper clubs, you know, that you'd see on TV or in the movies.
Yeah, and there are many of them, as a matter of fact. Cheryl in Vesper, we'll go to you. Cheryl, thanks for calling.
Hello there. My name is Cheryl. I'm 68 years old, and I started working. I live in Vesper, but I started working at the Belle Chalet in 1972 in Hurley. And then I worked many years there, every aspect of it. Even when I was pregnant, they wouldn't let you on the floor. So I had to quit waitressing, and I had to go in the kitchen. So I learned all kinds of tricks there, and then I worked at Connie's Supper Club in Hurley for 20 years. And, yes, the old fashions were the drink. That and we had...
Yeah, I'm sorry, you had what?
The best Bloody Marys, too. Oh, and I was going to tell you a little tip about pizza dough.
Yeah.
Because I make really good... I'm a really good cook. I make really good pizza dough, but when I make my dough... I throw a handful of semolina flour in there, and it gives it a nice chew.
Semolina. All right. Cheryl, thanks for throwing that in. That's something kind of from the previous show, but I like it anyway. Well, the Belle Chalet or Connie's, are those supper clubs you had any had anything to do with, or at least in terms of finding the history of supper clubs, Ron?
No, I didn't, but certainly Hurley comes with its own interesting past, so it was a pretty wild town.
Yeah, it was indeed back in those days, and then back in those early days that when Cheryl was working there. Cheryl, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. What's your supper club experience? I'm wondering about the oldest supper club still open today. I mean, there's supper clubs that have been around a while. A lot of them went by the boards, but what's the oldest one that you know?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, people talk about Red Circle Inn, and Wilmot, the stage stop in Wilmot. Those were old, like, you know, wagon trains would stop there. They were old places to water the horses, and people get some lodging and stuff. Some other places, you know, Ray Radigan's was open for 80 some years until they closed, and that's a pretty long life for a supper club.
And I was thinking about Madison area supper clubs, just because that's where I went. The Cuba Club was one that I went to. I think we even talk about, or maybe mention that in your book.
Well, the one I mentioned in Madison was called Welch's Embers, and before that it was Ace of Clubs.
Yeah.
And now it's a gas station, but it was around the time when Cuba Club was open too. And
yeah,
it's kind of sad when you find out what they became, you know, after they closed. So
yeah, there was another supper club that we spent a lot of time at when I was younger. My parents would take us there, Halverson's, which was located just off the shore of one of the Madison Lakes, Keganza, and was between McFarland and Stoughton, Wisconsin. And it was kind of the place to go.
Yeah, Helverson's was very popular.
I love the relish trade. Mary Beth in Madison will go to you. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering if, I haven't read your book, but I was wondering if you had anything in it about Turks and Hayward.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole chapter on Turks.
Superior. And we would drive down there for a special meal all the way from Superior.
And the background on Turks is really interesting as well.
Yeah, they were one of the earliest supper clubs that I identify. I can't really pick the very first one that opened in the state, but they were among the first and opened in 1934. And George, you know, had the exotic atmosphere in there. He had peacocks walking around. They had belly dancers. And it was an institution because apparently John F. Kennedy stopped there when he was in the state campaigning in 1960. So,
Turks. Well, Mary Beth, thanks for that reminder about Turks. What about you? Do you have a favorite story relating or place relating to supper clubs? Give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Rafe Ayola's book is The Wisconsin Supper Club Story, an illustrated history with relish. Lots more to talk about with him. He'll be with us right up till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with Ron Fayola. I'm Larry Mueller. Exploring Wisconsin supper clubs on the show right now, looking at the history behind this dining experience with our guest, Ron Fayola. He's the author of The Wisconsin Supper Club Story, an illustrated history with relish. And so what do you love about supper clubs? Did you live by one growing up? Still open? Give a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email. Our lines are all filled right now, but you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. You know, this relish, one of the things, before we go to the phones, one of the things I really enjoyed was the relish tray, which was, if you went to a supper club, you got a relish tray. And I have some favorites, but what did relish trays typically serve?
Well, relish trays, you know, had the celery, carrots, sometimes peppers and green goddess dip. Then they, some places do a little bit more fancy. They do marinated herring and some cottage cheese or bean salad and some cheese or liver pate. It's kind of a nice little welcome to sit down and get the relish tray and have something healthy to nibble on while you're trying to pick out how big your steak's going to be.
And the ones that I enjoyed the most always had corn relish.
Sure. Those little corns.
That corn relish was always a favorite, and I would rate a supper club based on the quality of its corn relish when I was a kid. And you, all the ones you mentioned were, and it's, typically it was served on a sort of a Lazy Susan kind of tray, so you could kind of turn the tray and get to the, you know, the spot, the herring or whatever it was you wanted, and it was easy to do. Why did they go away?
Well, you know, part of the reason why they went away is that people weren't eating them, and they were, you know, restaurants, supper clubs were throwing them away. And, you know, that's cost money for the supper club. And it's, you know, you don't want to waste food. And some places have now changed to charging a small fee for a relish tray. And I was at the Duck Inn recently, and they charged $1.25. And it was a really nice relish tray, and I had absolutely no problem paying for that. Other places, I saw one place was charging $9, and it was basically vegetables, so that was a little steep. Other places are starting to do, like I say, the Lazy Susan, but they have lots more on there. So they'll have deviled eggs. They'll have more substantial items, sausage and things, but they're charging $15 or $20 for that.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes that's worth it. I mean,
sure, yeah.
Well worth it. Leland in Sturgeon Bay will give you a chance. Hi, Leland.
Hi. You were talking about some of the oldest supper clubs, and I don't know just how accurate my information is, but I was always told that the Greenwood up in the township of Gibraltar, not too far from Fish Creek, my understanding, hopefully it's accurate, is that that was built around, was started around 1929. And I believe it's been in the same family the whole time, still in the same family. And I still think they're operating during the summertime. And
didn't they used to have gas pumps outside?
Yeah, they had a couple of gas pumps outside. And when John Dillinger and the boys were up here, he used to stop there and get gas.
Ron, a comment.
Yeah, the Greenwood, they're in my movie, and they were called the Silver Slipper in the 20s, and somebody didn't like the name, so they ended up changing it to the Greenwood, but it was the Slipper because people were dancing there, and yeah, they did have the gas pumps, and you know, whether Dillinger actually stopped there or not, we love the legend, so we just keep going with it, and
we know that Dillinger and Capone and those boys, they didn't spend all their time up around Hayward. They were in Door County, too.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You've got a little piece on is it on Dillinger? I'm trying to remember now. No,
Capone.
Al Capone. And but it was really his brother, Ralph, that was involved in supper clubs.
Yeah. You know, all the supper clubs I go to, we're like, hey, Al Capone was here, and Al did this, and Al did that. Based on my research, Al spent very little time, if not, you know, almost zero time in Wisconsin. People, I think, were attributing things to Ralph and the many lieutenants they had in the Capone organization. And just over time, it just became, oh, Al Capone was here. Al Capone spent a lot of time when he was hiding out, actually in St. Joseph, Michigan. And he was real busy in Chicago with his business. So he really didn't have much time to spend in the state. And his brother owned the property up in Hayward. And there's all sorts of legends about that, too.
Leland, great story. 1929, it opened, the Greenwood Supper Club. And that video you mentioned, how would Leland take a look at it?
They're available on Amazon, and I finally re-released it. It sold several thousand copies over the years, and So I put it together with my first fish fry movie. So you get a 2-for-1 on the DVD. And you can see the trailer for all of those on YouTube. Just look up my name and our Wisconsin Supper Club trailer, and you'll find my
Ray Faiola. And if I'm not mistaken, your last name is spelled F-A-I-O-L-A.
That's right.
All right. There you go, Leland. Thanks. Scott in Johnsburg, your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, Blank Supper Club in Johnsburg is phenomenal drinks and amazing steaks.
The way you say that, Scott, I think you really like it. Blank Supper Club in Johnsburg, Wisconsin. You know that one, Ron?
Yeah, there's actually two Blanks either side of Lake Winnebago. So you got Blanks Lake Air and Blanks on the other side. So, and they're both real nice.
And Scott, the way Scott said, the best steak. I think he really likes Blank Supper Club. Thanks, Scott. George in Oconomowoc, on to you. Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Just wanted to mention that if you go to the real far north, which is Land of Lakes, I don't know if you guys have gotten that far north, but there's a place up there called the Bear Trap Inn. I think it's been around since the 1920s. And, of course, you know, the same thing with the mafia people and so forth hung out there back in the 20s and 30s. But it's gotten to be a very fine place. It went through a bunch of ownerships and changes and so forth over the years. But the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a young fellow in there and just made it into a fantastic place. That's the Bear Trap Inn in Land O' Lakes. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were, I think at the time I was working on the books, they were going through ownership changes. So, you know, it wasn't something I wanted to put them in the book in case it, you know, it didn't work out. So.
Ah, okay. But sounds like it worked okay. George, thank you. Ron in La Crosse, your turn.
Yes, I'm a lifelong resident here, and I remember there were a few supper clubs. One was the Cerise Club. That was really the top-notch restaurant in La Crosse. Mm-hmm. It was just across the street from the Starlight Outdoor Drive-In. And then there was the Fireside, and they had a stage with a grand piano on it. I think once in a while they would have a band. But what's really interesting, back in the 50s, we had the South Lanes Bowling Alley south of La Crosse. I'm old enough to remember they still hired pin boys. But they also had a lady who played a grand piano, and the piano was surrounded by plants. And I think Lily Tomlin, that was one of Lily Tomlin's characters, this person. She was into the 1950s culture, which is when this occurred. My dad said, he goes back even further in La Crosse, he said back in the 1930s, South Lanes was known as the Culture Club, and they had slot machines.
Well, that was pretty common in supper clubs, is having gaming machines. And there were stories of they got a tip from the local sheriff that was going to be a raid. So the sheriff would actually help them move the machines out. And then the feds would show up and looking for games, and nothing's there. And, you know, he was cooperating with the supper club owners.
Oh, great story. I had a colleague whose parents owned a club, and they had a railroad tracks that ran behind the club, and this was during Prohibition, and they had cut a spot between the railroad ties where they made it put a box in there, and the box would hold the liquor. And if they heard somebody was coming, they'd run out and put all of the booze in this box between their boxes between the railroad ties.
Yeah, there was lots of clever ways to hide things. Edgewater and Jefferson had a chute that they'd hide their money down this. It was like a coat hanging spot. They just open it up, throw the money down, and get rid of the booze, and, oh, nothing's there. So.
Nancy in Ridgeland, your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Larry. I was raised in Madison, as you know, and we used to go out. We didn't go out very often when I was growing up, but when we did go, we'd go to Leskie's Supper Club, which was out sort of at the intersection of the Beltline and Monona Drive.
Yeah,
and we used to get the kitty cocktails, and our favorite thing to order there was lobster tail. But there's still a supper club that's just a little farther out the Beltline, Toby's. It's on the south side there, and a friend of mine comes from Illinois about once every year, and we meet and go to Toby's Supper Club just for old times.
And if you go to Toby's, you better go early, or be prepared to wait on a Friday night. Nancy, I don't know if you ever went on a Friday night, but that place is really, really busy. And Ron, have you ever been there?
Oh yeah, they're in my second Fish Fry movie, and they have the best shrimp ever because they buy U10 shrimp, which means they're 10 to a pound, so they're huge. And if they can't get the U10s, they don't serve shrimp. And I had been to Toby's a few weeks before, and they had a sign on the wall saying, sorry, we're out of shrimp. And when I talked to Roxanne, the owner, about it later for the film, she said, yeah, I'm not just going to get any shrimp. You know, I want the U10s, and if I can't get that, then we'll just say we don't have it.
They make pretty good fish, too, on a Friday night.
And the fish fries, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Nancy, thank you. Matt in Winnebago County, your turn. Hi,
hello.
Matt.
Hi, I'm calling to recommend the White House Inn, which is in Butamore, Wisconsin. Butamore is just north of Oshkosh, kind of between Oshkosh and Winnicott, right off County Road S.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say all around the food is pretty good, and it has a kind of a cool historic Civil War kind of atmosphere to it. One of your earlier callers mentioned one of the oldest supper clubs around. I'm not sure if it's the oldest, but I'm pretty sure that it was built around 1910. I think it was operating as a saloon and then didn't do well during Prohibition. But in 1929, it became Jimmy's White House Inn, they called it. And now it's just back to the White House Inn.
Mm.
But it's a great place. You can get there by boat from Lake Butamore.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it.
Thank you, Matt. And Ron, you're familiar with the White House Inn.
I am. And, you know, these places, the places that became supper clubs were roadhouses or dance halls in the early days, so in the teens and 20s. And as, you know, they started serving more food, then they slowly turned into the supper club. And as the concept, people started calling places supper clubs, you know, then they kind of switched over and really doing the same thing, but they were called a supper club. So there's some interesting history out there.
Yeah, Matt, thank you. John in Algoma, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi. Wow, great topic. I just I didn't realize how much nostalgia this would generate for me as a kid. My grandfather always liked to take the family out to dinner on Sundays. It seemed like once every couple months, but it probably was even more frequent than that, especially when we were up at the cabin up in Oneida County on Lake Tomahawk. And there were a couple places that we frequented regularly that I really loved. One was Yeshik's Tower in Lac des Flambeaux, and the other is one that I had a question about because I don't remember the name of it. It was on, I think, Highway 51 on the Trout River coming out of Trout Lake. And I wondered if your guest might know what the name of that particular supper club was.
Yeah, Little Bohemia.
There's a bunch of places along, you know, 51. I'd have to kind of see where the location to kind of see maybe what it is now. Maybe it's Marty's Place North or something. Who knows?
But yes, what about Yeshik's Tower in Lac des Flambeaux?
Not familiar with that. That must have been quite a while ago. I don't know.
Yeah. John, thank you. Appreciate it. Kathy in Superior, we'll go to you. Hi, Kathy.
Yes, we still have a couple of running supper clubs here in Superior. Eddie's Supper Club, which is well known for their ribs and their Friday night fish fries. And then there's Dreamland, which has been around for many, many years. They still do the live music. They have a wonderful old-fashioned, and they still serve a relish tray with your meal.
Do they put the corn on it, the corn relish on it, Kathy?
Corn relish, the three beans, the pickled herring.
Oh my gosh!
You still get the warm roll basket and the whole. It's a fun place to go to dine. It's a wonderful. They're only open now Thursday to Sunday, but yeah, you can still get a good ice cream drink there after your meal if you like.
A grasshopper or a brandy. Brandy yep. Alexander's. Yeah, that's yep. Dreamland, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Dreamland's been open since the 20s. And they're actually known for their lobster dinners and their deep-fried turkey breast.
Oh.
Quite a unique family recipe. They call it the poor man's lobster. So.
And so it comes out with kind of a lobster taste, or it comes out really moist,
no.
I bet?
It's battered, and I guess it's just a cheaper alternative if you don't want to pay for the lobster. So.
Oh, Kathy, thanks. Todd in Madison, hi.
Hello. I'm old enough where I've worked in supper clubs back, and I bartended in a lot of them, and it was not uncommon. A lot of times it happened where the bar tab would be bigger than the dinner tab. And I think a lot of once the awareness came for drinking and driving, I think that kind of ended a lot of supper clubs from being able to be profitable.
Yeah. Hey, well, what do you think, Ron?
Yeah, that definitely was a big thing because people used to spend a lot of time at the bar. And again, like you said, the bills would be, you know, that would kind of really pay for things. And they'd have dinner and they'd come back and have more drinks at the bar. And they'd be open until 1 or 2 in the morning. And now supper clubs are turning off their fryers at 8:30 or 9.
Yeah, and so it's a different kind of time. And Todd may be right on that. People not wanting to be out drinking so late and then having to drive or getting somebody else to drive. That doesn't work very well a lot of times.
No. There's a good story I was told at Repke's. One of their customers drove their riding mower to the club because he wasn't allowed to drive a car, but that's basically the same thing. But
Jody said, Jody emailed and said, Connie's, which caller mentioned earlier, was owned by probably Ralph Capone. And he wants to give Jody also wants to give a shout out to Ding-a-Ling in Manitowish. It's wonderful, she says.
Yeah, there's also a Ding-a-Ling in Hanover, far south. And, and Ralph Capone owned a bar in Mercer until the 70s. And Al Capone did visit at one point, but that was like 1947 after he was out of jail. And he was starting to suffer from the dementia that eventually killed him. And
well, he had syphilis, didn't he?
Yeah, it was syphilitic dementia, so.
Oh, man, probably not the best way in the world to go, for sure. Well, your supper club book, I'm sorry we're not getting to everybody here, but your book is a lot of fun to read, and we certainly didn't get in. You got a great story in there about Hildegard and some of the other entertainers that
right.
work there, and a lot of... obviously, there's a lot of interest in this, given all the calls. And it does bring back some really great memories, including that one that I don't have time to talk about now, which was the Rainbow Lodge near Hayward, which when I was there with my girlfriend after a very successful day of muskie fishing. But on that note, Ron, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for spending time with us today, and I really enjoyed your book. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Larry.
Ron Faiola is the author, and the book title is The Wisconsin Supper Club's Story, an Illustrated History with Relish. And for me, especially corn relish. Okay. Fun book. Tomorrow, we'll talk with the authors of a new book called The Steger Homestead Kitchen. We'll hear recipes and stories from the Minnesota North Woods. In the meantime, I hope you stay with us right through the afternoon. Lots of good things in store. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.